She said, do you come from a land down under, where women glow and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, you better take cover.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Nation podcast, a unique baseball podcast. Today, we have former Team Canada left-handed pitcher and current University of Calgary pitching coach, Jordy Alexander. Thanks for coming on, Jordy.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
I mean, I guess first things first, could you just talk to us a little bit about kind of what baseball looked like for you growing up?
Yeah, well, I grew up in British Columbia, in Burnaby, just outside of Vancouver. And I basically did the whole U18 midget program until my senior year. And then I ended up playing for the Coquitlam Reds, which is now the PBL in BC. But they were just basically a kind of independent like program, which we ended up playing Babe Ruth in provincials. And they pretty much put me on the path to like understanding how to take baseball more seriously. And, you know, with playing baseball 5 days a week instead of like two or three, as you would for baseball BC or BC baseball at the time, you know, it kind of put me in that mindset of what it took to, you know, get ready and prepare and have a plan, and even doing, you know, training throughout the winter and the fall. So that's kind of how I started my high school career.
Where'd you go to college again, Jordy?
I went to Olympic College, which is in the NWAC. It's in Bremerton, Washington. And I because of the Coquitlam Reds program, we do, you know, summer tournaments in the States and Washington. And we did a tournament outside of Seattle, and I ended up pitching against the host team on a Friday night and did well. And a couple of college scouts saw me there, and then they kind of offered me a chance to play at Olympic College for a few years.
And then you went and played indie ball, and correct me if I'm wrong, like you kind of had a unique story, like you got drafted out of indie ball. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was fun. It is definitely a different route than anybody else would probably take. I was at Olympic College for the fall and then the spring. And unfortunately, you have to pay international student fees, and I wasn't getting a full scholarship at Olympic College. And so I ended up doing open tryout for the Tri-City Posse, which was part of the Western Baseball League Independent Ball. And I made the first cut, and they asked me to come to their camp in Kennewick, Washington. And as you know, like every independent team, they need their certain amount of rookies, certain amount of veterans and all that stuff. So I actually had a really, really good camp, and I was just turned 19, and they offered me a spot on the roster. So I ended up pitching that whole year in Tri-Cities. And for whatever reason, like, because I was still was technically a collegiate player in that year, I had a couple different organizations. One was the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Royals. They ended up drafting me, and they just decided to keep me with that independent team. And then I ended up signing with the Kansas City Royals after being drafted the following September.
Yeah,
so definitely a different route.
Yeah. Actually, honestly, I don't even know if I know anyone else that got drafted out of indie ball, but
yeah. And that was the thing. Like, I do remember them talking about whether it would be just like a free agent signing or it would be, you know, a draft and kind of follow, I guess you would call that.
Yeah.
Back in those days, right? Because there was unlimited amounts of rounds. Like, guys were getting drafted. I guess the most famous one is Mike Piazza getting drafted like super late.
Yeah, like
and so
first round or something.
Yeah, Yeah, something crazy like that. So it was basically, they just decided to keep me there because I was playing against good competition, and I did have, you know, a lot of guys who had been AAA and in the organization and stuff like that, as you know, what independent ball is. So I learned a lot of good things. I learned a lot of bad habits with those old guys who were kind of just, you know, on their last leg of playing pro ball.
And then Jordy, could you talk to us about your time with the Kansas City Royals organization?
Yeah, I had three spring trainings with the Kansas City Royals. I ended up my first spring training, it really was an eye opener of what you had to do to prepare yourself to get ready for, you know, the season, even spring training. Because as you know, like even in the old days, guys would go to spring training to get in shape. And I think right around my era is when, you know, guys were coming into shape, like tip top shape, ready to go. Because once you get to spring training, they want you throwing bullpens every second day and then getting into live and really being prepared. And it was definitely an eye opener. And I ended up going to extended spring training, which is where the lower level players wouldn't break with a A or double A or triple A team. And they would go down to we went to Fort Myers because we were in Baseball City and we shared a complex with the Twins. So that was definitely a grind and an eye opener because that was an extra 6-7 weeks of just spring training and the monotonous and the redundancy of just everything, the PFPs to the running, to the just throwing every day. And every second day was a bullpen or a live session or games against other organizations. And it was definitely an eye opener, and it really forced me to understand and learn quickly how to take care of your body and how to really not take it for granted, because, you know, it was pretty close to me being let go. And I ended up really kind of have my eyes open. And after I got sent to extended spring training, I really focused on just the task at hand and just trying to get in better shape. And then I basically did that. And I was opening day starter for the Spokane Indians in the Northwest League.
Nice. No,
which was a highlight. I mean, if anybody knows Spokane, like they know that they have a really good organization down there and they do it right and they pack it in. And so I was able to, you know, kind of roll from there. And my second year I ended up in Lansing, Michigan. And after that, my third spring training, that's when I got released and ended up like kind of really not knowing what to do. And then 2 days after I got home from Florida, I ended up getting a call from Charlie Kerfeld in Reno. So that's kind of how my independent career started.
Well, yeah. And that was kind of the next part I was going to get to. Like, you played a ton of indie ball and, you know, you played in four different Canadian cities. Could you talk to us a little bit about your indie career?
Yeah, my indie career was, it was pretty exciting. I was able to play in a lot of different and fun cities, Reno being one of them. Indie ball is definitely different. You know, you get your eclectic group of guys from everywhere, and, you know, you really understand the part of indie ball is like, it is a business, and, you know, not a lot of those organizations are making a lot of money. So they have to win, and they have to win now. And, you know, you know, you see guys come and go pretty quick. You see guys try to hang on, and it's a tough business. That's for sure. Right. If you don't really have the desire to want to play baseball, then it's really not for you. And, you know, I really learned a lot. Yeah. You're definitely not making great money. Right. And that's kind of the thing about it too. It's really for the love of the game, and you don't really make great money until like, you're one of those quote unquote veteran players and who have a lot of experience. And even at that, like if you're not playing for an independent ball team that has big money, then you're not going to get that big money. So, but I, you know, it was definitely a you know, a pretty fortunate and lucky, like I said, of some of the towns and the cities that I played in, like with one being, you know, like, or two being like, you know, Winnipeg and Quebec City were like, you know, a blast. And they had a really good organizations that, you know, they put on really good product, right? They bring in good players. They have good front office staff, and the fans were great. And I was pretty fortunate to play those places.
And there's a reason why both of those are still around.
Yeah. And that just shows, you know, the hard work. And when you have good staff and when you're able to have a marketing program and plan, like you bring the fans in, then you can stick around and you can make it work for sure.
And then Jordy, you have definitely pitched, you play a little international baseball too, right? Like Mexico, Colombia, you went to Europe for a little bit too.
Yeah, I did. I was definitely international balls was one of my highlights in my life. I played in 10 different countries, and with, you know, being in Mexico, I played in the summer league. As you know, there's a winter ball and then there's summer ball, and the summer league is definitely a lot more teams, better money, and better. It's really good competition. And I played in Cancun for the longest estados, which was it was pretty fun playing in Cancun for 3 months. And Colombia was a blast. Colombia, I believe that you and I both played in the same town in Colombia.
I was in Monteria.
Right. Okay, that's right. And I was in Cartagena for 2 winters. And
gotcha.
That was fun. That was definitely a crazy experience. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect when I went to Colombia. That's for sure. I'd only known about like Orlando Cabrera and Holbert Cabrera and the big leagues. Yeah. And I was fortunate enough to play with Pete Rose Jr. on the same team. He was down there at the same time. And that was quite the experience. But other than that, like, living in Colombia, especially in Cartagena, which is a beautiful city. I lived on the beach, got paid cash, played pretty good baseball, you know, and the fans are very passionate. And, you know, I did that for 2 winters and great experience. And, you know, it was, met some good friends down there and had some good times. And, you know, it's, people have the stigma about Colombia, but it's nothing really like that. And the baseball doesn't get the, doesn't get the spotlight that it should, because, you know, even with the ex big leaguers coming back and helping out there, they're getting some good ball players down there.
Yeah. There's been some more and more Colombians playing MLB too, which is good to see. And their national team did well in the World Baseball Classic. So yeah, they could definitely be a surprise in the future here.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, and you have guys who come back and who played high level baseball, even in Calgary now in Canada and all over the world, right? They want to give back, and they really wanted to try to help, whether it's their city, their province, their state, their country. They want them to, you know, have better chances and better coaching too. So that makes the sport grow bigger and better.
You got to represent Team Canada a few times. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that's definitely, yeah, one of the highlights definitely of my life is, you know, they say, you hear a lot about that in hockey terms, right? Growing up, like it's a great honor to put the, you know, the flag on your chest and play and represent your country. And, you know, it definitely put into perspective of like what it's like to represent your country and certain different tournaments and stuff like that. And I was fortunate enough to do that 5 times with the senior national team. And, you know, it's funny, even getting a chance to play on that team was a different route too. Like after my, I think it was the 2000 season, I had a pretty good season. I just emailed Greg Hamilton, and Greg Hamilton gave me a chance. He probably did his homework on me. And I was fortunate enough to go to a kind of a camp down in Florida and made the squad. And we were in Panama And I was that was kind of like a qualifying tournament for a World Cup. And so we qualified for that, and I was able to play in the 2001 World Cup in Taiwan, which was a blast. And then 2003 World Cup in Cuba. And then again in 2005 in the World Cup, which was in Holland, which was another great, great country that you would never think had great baseball, you know? And I was really, honkball, right? And I was just even more impressed with the fans, and the fields and the stadiums were immaculate. And it was just, it was a lot of fun and a blast. And I just, it really shows how baseball is just a truly, truly, you know, worldwide sport.
Yeah. And obviously, like both you and I, we kind of got to see baseball all over the world, and it's definitely different in each country, but at the same time, it's still the game of baseball, but they definitely have their own unique kind of style, and it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. And I, you know, and with you and I being having that experience, like, you know, you really learn how to deal with certain situations, even coaching and stuff like that. And even dealing with people in general, like you're not going to have the same type of team, same type of teammates and same type of coaches. Right. And you really try. One of the things I learned earlier on is just try to really learn from everybody that you interact with in the game of baseball, and just kind of, you know, put it to your own and mold it to your own style, whether it's playing, whether it's coaching. Right. And I think you and I both are very fortunate and lucky enough to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And international baseball, I've always loved, and it's tough to explain it if you've never played an international tournament, but it's probably, I mean, I probably enjoy that more than the season, I guess.
Yeah. You know, well, like even the tournaments, like, you know, you go to the World Cup tournaments or even the Prince George tournament that we played in, like you see some of the Asian teams and countries, how they do things, how they prepare, how they, you know, how they manage their reps and how they really put in the work, even down to the Cuba teams, like that you and I have both played against. Like it's impressive. And some of the things that they do and some of the drills and some of the, you know, the gameplay they do. Right. And even the joy of the game, right. That you really can see how they just love the game and they put the work in and they get the results because they are good teams and good countries that play baseball.
Yeah, no, Cuba, I mean, for a small island like that, it's very impressive.
Yeah, it really is. And that's definitely, you know, me being able to play in Cuba in that World Cup in 2003 was just like it's no joke of how they say kids are playing baseball or stick ball or whatever in the streets. Like you see it everywhere, right? And the amount, the passion the fans have, it's just truly, truly amazing. And I'm pretty lucky because I was able to, one of the highlights of my career is actually pitching against Cuba in that 2003 tournament. And I was lucky enough, my dad came down at the time and he was staying at a bed and breakfast. And the family had like every Cuba game they showed on national TV. So my dad was able to tape that game I pitched. I started against Cuba and I still have that to this day. So I'm going to be happy when my kid is old enough to watch that and understand it. And it was, it's all in Spanish, which even makes it even more great and fun to watch and authentic and the passion for the fans, because they go on, they film the stands and stuff like that. And there's 25,000 people there. It was just amazing.
That was like the big main field in Havana.
Yeah. That big one that looks like it holds like 100,000 people, and 20,000 people have, it makes it look like it's empty. It's pretty crazy.
And then Jordy, could you describe kind of your pitching style? Like kind of what pitches did you throw and kind of velo?
Yeah, I'm a lefty. Pitcher. I really tried to emulate myself after Tom Glavine, who was part of that big rotation with the Braves in the late 80s, 90s, a little bit of 2000s. And I basically was that control guy. I never threw hard. I was 84, 87 for the majority of my career. And I really focused on changing speeds, and my changeup was my go-to pitch. And I was able to get away with a lot of things throwing that changeup. And that's kind of how what I teach now, even when I'm coaching or lessons and stuff like that. Like we all know the fascination of throwing hard and below and stuff like that. And that's all good. But if you throw hard, like we know a lot of guys who threw hard, but if they can't, control it, if they can't change speeds, good hitters in the higher levels are going to hit 99, 95, yeah. 90, right? So I had to really change speeds and move the ball in and out of the strike zone to be successful. And, earlier on in my career, I didn't learn how to pitch inside well enough to, last with the Royals. And I think that's one of the main things and the big reasons why I got released, because I needed to pitch inside. And if you don't pitch inside, especially at the higher levels, they're going to eat you alive. And they're going to, just really focus on one part of the plate. And so with me being a control guy, maybe for some of the younger viewers who don't know Tom Glavine, maybe like a Mark Burley or some guys like that, right, who change speeds. And
Jamie Moore,
being a lefty, Jamie Moore, yeah, he pitched forever, and he threw, it's crazy to think that he was able to last as long as he did, throwing 80, 82 miles an hour. But that's what happens when you change speeds. You throw under hitting speed, and if you keep the ball down and locate, you can be successful at any level.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's like you mentioned, it is kind of a lost art pitching inside, no matter how hard you throw. And yeah, mixing off speed is definitely something I'm struggling with kind of the game now. And I don't know, people, it seems like all they care about is what they pull down, but I guess I don't care about that, but
no, I think we're on the same page there. I know there's definitely something that, helps certain guys, maybe a lot of guys with the pull downs and stuff like that. But if you can pull down 100, but you can't throw a strike, what does that do? Right. And, a lot of these websites and these Twitter accounts, and they're just showing guys trying to throw 100 and stuff like that. And, I'm not against it, but
no,
if we're not learning how to pitch and change speeds, like you and I did in our career, then, that can only take you so far.
Yeah. And I guess I always kind of correlate it to like my long drive golf. Like I can, obviously hit a ball far, but it doesn't mean I'm a good golfer.
Right. Oh yeah. I've seen you crush the ball on the golf course, and yeah, definitely. Like we play those golf courses, and it definitely helps. But if you can't if you don't have a short game in golf, then, you're going to be in a world of hurt, especially in golf.
And you talked about it already, Jordy, like kind of got into coaching. Like how was that transition for you? And now at the University of Calgary, and kind of how's that been going for you?
It's been going good. I started coaching after basically the 2010 season. I went to the Intercounty League and played there with some guys from the national team. And Intercounty Baseball League in Ontario is like a semi-pro. And so I came back after that, and I started coaching with the Calgary Redbirds with Jim Lawson, who unfortunately passed away last year. And he kind of gave me my first opportunity with first stint as a full-time coach. I did other things like with Coyotes and stuff like that too, the odd lesson and stuff like that. And being at the Absolute Baseball Academy when it first started, I did a bunch of Cal West Little League stuff. And, I kind of progressed and, from the Redbirds, then I went to the Junior Dinos, and now I'm with the University of Calgary and the Calgary Bucks. And it's been good. It's like I said, like we are getting so many good guys coming back who have played high level baseball with, whether it's you, Drew Miller, Joe Surgeon down in the Dogs, Lou Pote, those guys, right? It's just going to make the baseball better, getting these coaches, you know, from higher levels and who are done their career. And, you know, you'll see it up in Edmonton too. And, you know, a lot of guys coming back with good credentials coming back and coaching. And I've just been enjoying it, giving back to the kids and trying to make guys better. And, you know, it's the crazy part is, like, you know, we're never going to try and tell these kids that you're going to go pro. We want these kids to learn basically how to deal with adversity, which, you know, that baseball teaches. Yeah. It's a game of failure. And if you don't know how to deal with adversity in baseball, or if you do know how to deal with that in baseball, then you're going to learn how to deal with that in life, because life, you know, it is, a lot of times it's tough. And as you know, with what's going on now, and if you can't deal with adversity or in dealing with people, then it's going to be a really hard road later on. So a lot of it, you know, I try to teach these kids and these college guys just how to deal with adversity. And, you know, I'm not going to make anybody pitch like I pitch, because that's not my role and that's not my style. I'm going to tell these guys, take a little bit from everybody you learn from, you're coached by, you're taught by, and just try to mold it into your own style, right? Because no one really pitched like you. No one pitched like me. No one's, like, we never threw high mid-90s. So we can't even imagine
what that would feel like.
Right? I wish I did, but we still might be working and playing. But, you know, like, I think just having the ability to, we learn from so many different countries. Like, we talked about programs, organizations, people, teammates, coaches. That's just how I think I want to teach our guys now. And if we can do that, then I think they have a better chance of maybe getting a scholarship, maybe learning how to, especially at the high school level. And if not anything, you're going to learn how to deal with adversity, especially playing baseball.
Yeah, and it's definitely something, looking back for myself, like, obviously I'm grateful for my baseball career, but I definitely wish I would have focused more on the academic side.
Yeah, that is the tough part. Like, you know, that's yes, definitely no. A tough part. Yes, yes and no, for sure, right? Not everybody's a great student, or not everybody's a great athlete, not everybody's, you know, they can't, if you just apply yourself. And a lot of it has to do with time management, right? And even coaching with the Calgary Bucks, you know, we really, really try to stress to the parents and mostly the kids, like, you have to learn how to time manage. And with all the distractions these days, whether it's the video games, whether it's the girls, you know, you have to manage your time if you want to be able to go on to that next level, like college ball, like for the University of Calgary, for any team in the CCBC, right? You have to be able to manage your time. And if you don't, then you're going to fall behind. And that's kind of what we're trying to teach them too at the younger age.
Yeah, I know, that's a very good point. It's definitely, I mean, my freshman year, it was a struggle with time management, but then you get used to it eventually.
Yes. Yeah. Cause if you don't, you're not going to last long. You could easily be ineligible, and you know, and then that just really puts a damper on, like, you're just kind of not your career, but, like, it just really kind of sets you back, because you could be one of those guys who puts all the work 100% in the gym, in the baseball side, but if you don't put that same work and time into school, you know, you could get left behind. And then that's when we all know those type of players who become ineligible, and they can't even step on the field, which sucks.
And then, obviously, Jordy, this is Sidearm Nation. Did you ever consider dropping down in your career?
you know what? I actually never considered fully dropping down, but one of the things I was able and lucky and fortunate enough to be able to experience playing with the Kansas City Royals was George Brett was one of those guys who came and talked on a week basis in spring training, especially to our hitters. And I was fortunate enough to stand in and listen in on his talks to the hitters. And, you know, he gave some great insight especially to hitters, but even to some of the pitchers, like for us lefties, right? And I did it a couple times in my career where, you know, every once in a while when I was a starter, I dropped down sidearm to a left-handed hitter. And what does that do? That just gives a different angle, a different perspective, a different idea in the hitter that, oh, he may drop down sidearm or he may stay three quarters, right? So I definitely did do it and it definitely did work, but I never, never fully dropped down full time sidearm. I've tried it and it doesn't look very good now. I tried it actually last year in practice and I still have that 90 degree angle arm slot. It's a little bit goofy and funny to watch.
And you battled some elbow issues, correct?
Yeah. Had two different surgeries. One was after 2005 with the national team. Had some bone chips removed. They were floating around in there. So that was just a scope at UBC, which I did. And then my last year with the Calgary Vipers, I was supposed to get another scope, but I had chips and spurs just floating around in there. So I had a little more invasive surgery. They opened me up and cut me open and cleaned it up. And I still don't have full range of mobility, but I still can throw BP and long toss with the kids and all that stuff. And that's another thing that we really try to focus on and teach, like, you don't take care of your body, especially your arm, you're gonna have injuries, right? And that's baseball. And you understand as more than anybody, like baseball and throwing is an unnatural movement. And yeah, if you don't really focus on the little things, and I always talk from the ground up, like if you have strong lower half, core, strong shoulder, and then strong elbow, that all just kind of takes care of itself. But if you have any part of that, I had a weak shoulder and my elbow compensated. So I had a lot of issues with my elbow. So, but you know, I have a cool scar. That's all good.
And then Jordy, did you have many teammates that were sidearm submarine pitchers?
Besides you?
Yeah, possibly.
No, I don't think I did. I was trying to think about that with the Royals or even in indie ball, like, I didn't have too many guys. I mean, we know Huizenga, who we played with, you know, he was at three quarter slot, sidearm slot, and he was dirty and he was not even fun to play catch with. You know what? I'm sorry. John Ogletree. John Ogletree. Yeah, Team Canada. We played the other couple times and he probably pitched one of the best outings ever for Team Canada in Panama against the host nation, and he was just on fire that day. And so yeah, John Ogletree, we were actually roommates both times with Team Canada, so like he was definitely one of those guys that just a great guy and just loved the game and just a funny guy. And he just another guy that I did not want to play catch with because the amount of movement, and he was throwing pretty hard, you know, down in that arm slot. And he was just a good guy and fun to be around. And he pitched really well and he got a chance with the Blue Jays. I believe it was the Blue Jays.
Yes.
And So, and now he's back in Ontario living the family life.
And then Jordy, it's just time for our ninth inning call of the bullpen. So just going to be some random questions just to learn a little bit more about you.
Random questions about me.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you random questions. I do have,
well, no,
maybe not a question.
I've got them for you already.
Oh, talk to me. Go.
favorite NHL team?
Vancouver Canucks.
I figured.
Stay loyal.
I didn't think that changed, but favorite travel destination.
Ooh, favorite travel destination. I do love Scottsdale, either in October with Arizona Fall League or March for spring training.
All-time favorite professional wrestler.
That would be Ricky the Steamboat. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, yeah.
Favorite baseball movie.
Major League.
If you could have golf or dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be, Jordy?
Golf or dinner with any three people, dead or alive. Bruce Lee, I'd like to have dinner with.
Yeah.
Another one could be, let's say, Tom Glavine.
Yep.
Which would be just to pick his brain. And he's a hockey guy too, right? So yeah. I would talk hockey with him as well. And somebody probably in the sports. That's a tough one. Name three people. Jeff Freeborn.
Would it be golf or dinner?
Yeah, golf for sure. We haven't been golfing in a while.
No, I went once last year and it's not pretty. any particular course, Jordy?
Well, I definitely would love to do one of those high-end courses, like whether it's Pebble Beach or like, you know, one of those extremely high-end golf courses would be just a blast, right? It's like playing on a big league stadium, right? Just how immaculate the fields are and the mound and the tee box and the greens and all that stuff, right? I think one of those high-end ones, whether it's Pebble Beach, could also because of the view and stuff like that. Have you done Pebble Beach?
No, I've never done Pebble Beach. I feel like that's a course I would have to bring a lot of golf balls to.
And some money.
Yeah. And then, Jordy, if you could be an Olympian summer or winter, what sport would you like to do?
Oh, well, I almost was an Olympian for baseball in 2004, but that didn't happen. So I guess I would have to go with what I would be best at, would probably baseball.
What about non-baseball? If they ever
non-baseball? Non-baseball. Oof. I would say winter or summer. The aerials in the skiing. I just think it would be so cool to be able to do that and contort your body and just
that body awareness and
yeah. That's crazy. I'm so fascinated about how they're able to do that and just manipulate their body and stick a landing like they can at high speeds. It's really impressive.
So you're gonna start training?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for that'll be the day. Not at my age of 43.
And then just going to test your memory here, Jordy, on the 1996 Tri-City Posse. Do you remember the former big leaguer that was on your pitching staff?
Former big leaguer on my pitching staff. Was it Mike York?
That is correct.
Mike York. Yeah, he was a character. He was like that. And that talk about like my first experience with, with professional baseball, like those guys had been around and it was just a team full of comedy and guys who characters and stuff like that. And me being the youngest, just turning 19, it was just, it was quite funny and interesting to be a part of and stuff like that. And I actually play with Brandon Newell. He used to be a dog's coach and he was on that squad too. And he was a fun guy to be around. And yeah, it was a blast. Tri-City Posse. What a time.
No, I appreciate you coming on, Jordy. Is there any shout outs before we sign off?
No, I just, just thanks for having me on. I mean, obviously with everything going on, we're hoping to get the CCBC season going and we'll see what happens, whether it's going to be an in provincial season or interprovincial, which doesn't look good now with what's going on in BC. And
yeah,
but it's definitely been a challenge for sure with all the guys, working their butts off with the college, right? And it's not an easy time for anybody in college and in high school and elementary and just in life, right? So I just got to commend the guys and the program at the university and even the box program, right? We're getting ramped up pretty quick here and hopefully we can have a season.
She said, "Do you come from a land down under? where women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? Yeah. You better run, you better take cover. Yeah. You better run, you better take cover.